Good morning, everybody. I'm Reverend Joel. I get to introduce the speaker that you have today. And when I introduce her to you, I just want you to know that I'm not introducing somebody based on just reading a bio or anything like that. This is somebody that I've known for like 8 or 10 years, something like that. She is amazing. They always say that if you want to go to that next level, to learn from somebody who's already there. That's who we're talking about today. Her name is Laura Berman Fortgang. She is... She is an internationally known life coach. In fact, she is the co-founder of the International Life Coach Federation, which is the largest life coach organization in the world. She is also a businesswoman. She is an interfaith minister. She's a wife. She's an amazing mother of 3 amazing kids. And she's also a Jersey girl. What do you want? So in addition to her work in the life coaching field, where she is really known as America's top life coach, she also is an amazing businesswoman. She has worked with Fortune 500 companies. Some of them you might have heard of: World Bank, NASA, a little restaurant chain. I hear it's a chain called McDonald's, something like that. She is the author of 4 best-selling books, including, and a new book that's actually going to go on sale in January of 2011. She is somebody who has, where's my cheat sheet? Because I don't want to forget one thing. Ah, right. Oh, how could I forget that? She's been on Oprah. She has been on Oprah. In fact, I remember seeing her on Oprah, and Oprah looked at her at one point and said, "You just gave me an aha moment." That's pretty cool, right? She's also been on the Today Show, CBS This Morning. She's been on Money Magazine, USA Today, CNN, on and on and on. She has been everywhere. She also has a new program. She's going to take these programs that she takes to places like McDonald's and NASA, and she's actually bringing them now to the public. And she has a new program, the program she's focusing on in the year 2011, and it's called The Prosperity Plan. The Prosperity Plan. She has a book with that. She also has a year-long program. In fact, she has a table at the back, and you can meet her afterwards. She has with this program, if you sign up today, you actually save $500 off the price, plus you get a free one-on-one personal session with her, which is worth $500 as well. So you can find out information about that afterwards on the table. But I have a little surprise for her, which is this Prosperity Plan program is based on her new book, which is called The Prosperity Plan, which, as I said, goes on sale in January. What she doesn't know is that I have an advanced copy of that book, which she has not seen yet. So in addition to welcoming her up here, you can also help join me in welcoming her to her new book, which she's saying for the first time. Join me in welcoming Laura Berman Fortgang.
Wow. It's like having another baby. Each book is like, I'm holding my new baby. This baby's made of gold. Woo! Thank you, Joel. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for letting me be your guest here today. I don't take that honor lightly. It really means a lot to me, and I thank you for having me. What's that time of year, right, where we start thinking about wishing each other a prosperous new year? You might write a card, or you might have someone write it at the end of an email. You know, happy holidays, may you have a prosperous new year. I'm about a month ahead of time, but don't you feel it coming? So let's start it off right here. You don't have to get up, but some of those people you did namaste with, wish them a prosperous new year. Come on. I wish you prosperity. Have a prosperous new year. Oh, good. Prosperous now. I like that even better. So, no waiting. Prosperous now. How does that feel? How does that feel? Isn't prosperity kind of tingly? It's kind of tingly. But what is prosperity, really? Is it just about money? No. So what? riches in all of your life. Exactly. So prosperity is just a way of being. It's not so much a thing that we do. And I think when we come to the beginning of a new cycle, whether it's your birthday or it's a new year, or, you know, I get the Jewish New Year in there, another chance to clean the slate, or back to school time, whichever, you know, we have several times a year that we kind of clear the slate. And we put out, you know, goals. Like, I'm going to be on the early show on January 1st, if you're up early enough on January 1st, and I'm going to talk about those goals that we set. And you know what? That's a little bit of an outdated technology. Because what happens with our goals every year? We start them and we don't do them. So the research shows that 23% of us give up on a resolution within 1 week. Uh-huh. And 45% of us don't make it to the end of that first month. All right? So, and we keep doing this over and over and over. So when I wish you a prosperous now or a prosperous new year, it has nothing to do with setting goals. So what does it have to do with? Let me take a quote from this said new book. And actually, I'm quoting Jean Chatsky, who's a very, you know, journalistic money person. This is what she says in one of her books. The difference between those that make money or have prosperity and those who don't is as much about doing, so there's your goals, as it is about believing. It's about making your own luck. Can you make your own luck? Absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. But how do you make your own luck? Oh, now the room's quiet. Tell us. I'm not there yet. I'm not going to tell you quite yet. I still want to talk about how we do it is that we have to have a prosperity plan. And again, this doesn't have numbers on it, a dollar amount, this prosperity plan. This prosperity plan doesn't necessarily have goals attached to it. But our plan has to be about who we're going to be. Not so much what we're going to do, but who we're going to be. And Tony, you set it up so beautifully today in your offering when you talked about the subconscious mind, the conscious mind, and the superconscious. Those sound like big terms, but they're pretty easy to understand. The subconscious is like the lead in your butt. It's the stuff that keeps you from going to the gym when you know you should go to the gym. That's the lead in your butt. That's the subconscious. Because think about it. We all know how to get thinner every year, don't we? What do? You eat less and you exercise more. Very good. We all know how to do better with our money. Spend less, make more. Oh, you're brilliant. So we all know how, but the difference is that our subconscious mind, whether it's programming or we watch too much TV, and lately all the news is like, you know, the world's going down the potty hole. You know, and if you start believing it, your subconscious is like so in that party boat. Oh, your subconscious is all over that party boat of how this ship is going down. Now, your conscious mind is the one you do affirmations with, right? I am prosperous. I am prosperous. I am. I am. And there's truth to that. But here's the trick with affirmations. You have to believe them. And so what happens is we set something as an affirmation that's not really yet in our consciousness. We want that. But that gap between the thing that we want and the thing we vibrate, the subconscious mind gets in there. Lead in your butt. So where we need to connect is even beyond the conscious to what Tony was saying, the superconscious. What's the superconscious? That's, I see it as like the Milky Way. It's just this stream of energy going all the time that we need to be like, wait, don't leave, I'm coming, right? So you can call it the God mind, the higher self, spirit, essence, whatever you want to call it. But it's the goodness that's out there for us to tap into. And the superconscious has a feeling. You just felt it when everyone wished you a happy, prosperous new year. Now, I want it to cement in your body. So would you do me a favor and just stand up for a moment? I want you to feel this because you can have this. As soon as you remind yourself, you can have this. All right. So Joel didn't tell you that I was an actress in my first career. So I still have some acting exercises up my sleeve. So here's one. You can all do this. You can all act. In your body, without any verbal cues, show me your most confident, faithful body stance. Like you just know. Everything works for me. Everything works in my world. Okay, now from here, go to a doubtful scarcity place like, oh my God, what should I do? You know, oh, you know, it's terrible. I don't see the evidence that I want in my life. We all had to get a little crooked. Little crookedness going on. Back to that confident, faithful place that you are open and you know. Let your hands. There you go. All right, so from here, try to not move a muscle, not a muscle, not a hair, and go to that doubtful, anxious place. Can you? No! You've just learned something you can use at any moment. You need to make a scary phone call, stand up. You need to be talking about what you're creating in your world, stand up. Now you can sit down, thank you. But I want you to feel that is tapping the superconscious. That is tapping what is available to you every day. Like I said, the Milky Way, it's the bus, it's always going, and you just need to grab it. That's prosperity consciousness, is being in your superconscious. And it doesn't look like what we do in normal everyday life. Because in normal everyday life, someone wants to say to you, no, you can't. Right? I want to become a coach, Mom. Yeah? Well, first you were an actor and you didn't make any money. Now you're going to do this thing no one's ever heard of? Right? That's a direct quote. I think I've forgiven her. I guess I still have to work on it. But what I'm saying is there's always going to be people that want to pull you off the superconscious highway. They want to bring you back down to either consciousness or subconsciousness because we know it. Maybe we have an agreement with our subconscious. Yes, nothing works out for me. I know that. I have that agreement maybe with my subconscious. Or that I'm not good enough. And we look for that evidence in the world. Like, oh, there's another place to believe that I'm not good enough. There's another place to believe that, yeah, have all your nice thinking, but it's not going to happen for me because it never happens for me. Right? There's all those places that want to bring us down. So how do we live in that confident body stance, in that prosperity place, that prosperity consciousness? We have to shift. Now, you shifted your body. Now I want you to shift. Sometimes we need a reason. A reason why, not for just for our own riches, like, yeah, we'd all like to have a little more money in our pocket, we'd all like to be a little more comfortable, but why is because we have to gain an understanding of how the universe works, right? The universe, if we believe this, that it's a mirror, okay, and we look into the mirror, and we look into the mirror in the morning, and we go, this sucks. The mirror says, yes, this sucks. Right at you. And that's how the universe works. So if you're wondering, like, you know, sometimes it's very confusing when you hear in the New Age philosophy or in the science of mind, you know, everything that happens to me is because of something I believe. Sometimes that's like too much to take in, you know? But if you look at it as a vibration, like what vibration am I putting out? Am I putting out the vibration of yes into the mirror of the world, or am I putting in the vibration of doubt and scarcity and looking for that agreement with my subconscious? See what I mean? So if you look in the mirror and you say, it's great. I'm not sure if I believe that, but I'm going to say it. Okay, it's great. And the mirror's like, yeah, it's great. And you start to see evidence in your world that it's great. But you have to be willing to see that evidence. Think about when you look out into your world, what evidence do you see? What evidence do you see? Right now, if you read the paper, forget. The evidence is what? It sucks right now. That's evidence. But the subtitle of the book, as a matter of fact, is 10 Steps to Beating the Odds. How do you beat the odds in what's going on in the world right now? It's not denial. It's not going into a little shell and a little hole and not dealing with it. But it's looking beyond it. All right, this is what the subconscious, maybe the conscious, is creating. But how do I tap to that superconscious and my mirror of what my universe is going to look like? And looking for that evidence in your world. When I was an actor in my 20s, I saw evidence that I didn't like. I'd given myself 5 years to make it out of college as an actor. And by making it, I meant have an agent, be taking on some promising roles, look like it's headed somewhere. Well, 8 years later, I'm still waiting on tables. You see, because waitress, actress, princess, they all have the same ESS. And I'm thinking I'm princess actress, and that waitress thing kept coming up. Must have been a subconscious thing. But I'm still waiting on tables 8 years into it, and all I see of evidence is how it's not working. You know, it's just not working. Yes, I got up at 5 a.m. and I waited online in rain or snow or sleet for that audition room to open up at the Actors Equity Building. Anyone here ever been guilty of those same things? There we go, Ty, hello, okay. So, you know, you're waiting and you get your little number and you go home and you shower and get all dressed up and come back and sing for, 30 seconds. And then at 4 o'clock, go off to my waitressing job, work till midnight, get up and do it all the same next day. No one worked harder. So all I could see was it wasn't working for me. Why wasn't it working for me? And why is the worst question you can ask. What does why give you? Darkness. Or, you ever asked a kid, why did you draw on the wall? I don't know. That's what you get from why, right? But if you ask what, and I didn't have that insight then, what can I learn from this? What is the message? Anyway, so back to that actress and waitress. I got myself so full of evidence of what was wrong that I actually had a nervous breakdown. I'd managed to get myself, 90 pounds, no body fat, anorexic, over-exerciser, seriously depressed, nervous breakdown, but functioning, I thought. And my parents took me to Fair Oaks in Summit, New Jersey. You know, see, in Jersey, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so, and they asked me, you know, are you thinking of hurting yourself? Yes, I am. They're like, oh, okay. We're going to be checking you in. And you know what? In that moment, I had all the evidence in the world that I belonged there, but something inside of me said, no. If you do this, you now have an identity for the rest of your life. You're sick, your parents have to take care of you, and that is going to be the nail in your coffin. And somehow I knew this. And I ran. I don't even remember how I got out of there. But all I remember is my mother chasing me over the lawn at Fair Oaks. And I don't know. I don't remember it. But from that day on, I chose not to have therapy. I had had plenty of therapy. That's not a recommendation or a prescription for anybody else. But that's how I chose to deal with it. And I started taking everything I had ever read as a self-help junkie and starting to put it to work. Marianne Williamson, The Course in Miracles, Deepak, everybody. And I had the insight, this before Oprah did the gratitude thing, I had the insight to look for something I could be grateful for. 10 fingers and toes, that was all I could come up with. That was my state of mind. I had 10 fingers and toes. But I chose day after day to look for the consciousness and the evidence that there was goodness, the evidence that I could beat the odds. And I could not have planned ever the rest of the story. And the rest of the story feeds into our talk today about the prosperity plan. Because all I did was say, I can't wait on tables anymore. I need to do something else. I wasn't sure if I was ready to give up acting, but I was ready to give up waiting on tables. And one day this voice said to me, call Jay. Okay, I knew who Jay was. Jay was someone who lived in Maplewood, New Jersey, who had been an acting mentor. And I looked him up through 411, whatever, found him, and said, I don't know why I'm calling you, but I didn't want to tell him a little voice was telling me, you know. But I was like, remember me? He's like, sure, I remember you. Turned out he'd become a coach. Then this little voice said to me, he has a new career for you. Yeah, wow. Want to bottle that, don't you? And so I started working with Jay as my coach for 2 years, got some things together in my life, and then looked at him and said, I want to do what you do. And at that point, there was the first school in the country starting that training life coaches, and I was part of that first 16 people. Then those first 16 people started the International Coach Federation that Joel was talking about, and I could not have planned the Oprah thing or the books or anything else. Publishers came to me. This magazine article exploded my life. All of a sudden, there are 350 people calling my house. I made my mother use her maiden name and be my secretary. You know, like, it's like, just don't say Berman. You can't be Berman, you know. And so my life exploded. But the key was this. I was looking for nothing. I did not have goals. I did not have a plan. But my plan was this. This is what all I asked for from God was, I want to know how to be happy, how to have love, and how to have peace. Happiness, peace, and love. Those were my ways of being. If you want to call it a prosperity plan, I didn't know to call it that. But that was my prosperity plan, happiness, peace, and love. If I know how to do that, it doesn't matter how much money I make because I'll be at peace. If I know how to love, it doesn't matter who I love, I'm going to be happy. Right? So that was my only plan. And my life exploded. And I'll tell you that I've fallen trapped to a lot of the media that you're seeing. In 01, 9/11, my husband lost his work for 2 years. Scary time. He recovers his work. One of my children is sick for 4 years with seizures and something that could not be controlled, and every doctor we went to and blah, blah, blah. So I started catching this fear fever, and I started to see my prosperity and the rest of my world start to decline. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, what do I do? How do I make the, you know, is it marketing? Is it goals? What? And I went, you forgot your prosperity plan from all those years ago. So I got back on my prosperity plan of don't ask for things, ask for a way of being. And this, I got asked to write this book called The Prosperity Plan out of getting back on track. So I feel like, you know, I'm a student right along with you, remembering this time when I did it without knowing what I was doing. And now I'm putting it to you in a plan of how do you do it? And I want to give you one thing that you can do. Not just what we talked about in terms of tapping into the superconscious, but tapping into possibility. Can we talk about possibility for a moment? Most of us live our life, I think, via probability. You may not consider yourself mathematicians or economists, but we go by what's probable. You know, it's likely that, you know, I'll audition and they'll say no. It's likely that my resume will be rejected. It's likely that I'll go on Match.com and I'll just meet a bunch of weird people. You know, those are likely things. But probability didn't get us to the moon, right? Was it probable that we'd get to the moon the first time we tried? No, but someone thought it's possible. Bill Gates thought something was possible. You can name a million of them, right? But they're the people who say, I'm going to live in the land of possibility. Would you like to join me in the land of possibility? So think of something that's possible in your life as you enter another day or another moment, since we're doing prosperity now, not prosperity at the new year. Right? So think of something that's possible. It doesn't have to be probable. You know, like it's possible we'll all get together for the holidays and get along great. It's possible. I didn't say it was probable. It's possible. But see what happens when you go to that holiday gathering not expecting that it's going to be a nightmare, and you go in like, it's possible. Don't you behave differently? Don't you behave differently? And you know, one cocktail might help too. But your impossibility. It's possible that we can get along. It's possible that I can make more money than I ever have known. It's possible that I can meet the most amazing people. It's possible. And when you hold out that possibility, you change that vibration we were talking about. You're tapping into the superconscious, okay? And then the first time something goes wrong, you don't go back to, see, I told you so. You keep looking for what's possible. What's possible? You know, when my son was sick, people would say to me, oh, I don't know how you deal with it. Oh, my God, it's such a big deal. Like, I should be crying in a lump every day. And some days I was, but, you know, I thought, I was like, wait a minute. I know it's possible that he'll be okay one day. I didn't know how, but I knew it was possible. And I also knew he didn't have a brain tumor or something that could eat him up. You know, we had time. But it was holding out for that possibility that when he had a fever February, almost 2 years ago, my husband and I were like, he's not having seizures. Did you see any? Did you see any? They were gone like that. One, he had a fever, but one sickness, and they were gone after 4 years of getting worse. And I used to say to him, you are seizure free. Ha! I am seizure free. Ha! I am seizure free. And we danced that every night. And when those seizures went away, I said, did you make the miracle? He's like, I made the miracle. You know, because he stayed in the possibility. Through everything that he went through, he stayed in the possibility. So as you go out today to create a prosperous world for you and everybody, it's just easy to remember to stay in possibility. It's easy to remember, get in that body stance. What is that body stance that holds me in that place? And you know what? Even Ernest Holmes, I took this right from the hallway. This is what he says about our country. I know that success, prosperity, and happiness are the gifts of freedom and are the divine heritage of everyone in this country. I know that success, prosperity, and happiness are now operating in the affairs of every individual in this country, despite the newspapers, despite what everything says. And I'm going to prove to you that someone's already in the vibration right here, right now. Because under one of your seats is a bookmark that looks like this. And you're going to get, now there's two copies. I didn't know that. But there's the only copy that's here, because I have to keep that one, of the prosperity plan is going to somebody here. So look underneath your seat. It may be in an empty seat next to you. So if it's empty next to you, you get to keep it. Oh, we have two? Okay, yeah. Who found it? Oh, I just ripped this one great. Thank you. Did you find it? Did we find it? It's taped. I know where it is. You're welcome. And actually, you got the brand new copy because Joel had one hiding in his bags. So before I let you go, let's take a quote from Norman Vincent Peale, who says, "Become a possibilitarian. No matter how dark things seem to be or actually are, raise your sights to the Milky Way and see possibilities. Always see them, for they're always there." So what I wish for you is new eyes in your prosperity plan. May you see the opportunities everywhere they are. May you tap into my Milky Way, as I call it, just by deciding that you will. And I hope to see you in a very prosperous 2011 another time. Thank you for having me. Oh, that's nice.